out there and I see all the smiling faces. Then I look over and I see David Stone. And David Crook, our new hair model.
Gene, you're in church.
Well, the Lord didn't tell us we wasn't supposed to have fun in church, ain't it, Joe?
I know that, but you're not supposed to lie.
I'm just going by what David's wife told me. Everybody turn to page 237. Page 237.
Yesterday was an absolutely gorgeous day.
Amen.
Today's pretty again, and thank God for that. Boy, it's good to see all y'all here. Good to have some visitors with us this morning. We appreciate you coming our way. Good to see some here that's been missing for a while, traveling around, caring for other folk, and always miss you when you're not here. So glad to have you back, and can't think of a better place to be.
Amen.
God is good all the time.
Amen.
All right, we got a whole bunch of stuff going on. It gets busy this time of year. This morning, second time play just passed is for the youth fund. So that takes care of food for the kids on Wednesday. Also, for our Thanksgiving baskets, we need those names today. So if you know someone that needs a Thanksgiving basket, Miss Mary Lou needs those names today. Those are nice little baskets. They got a lot of stuff in them, and they're very helpful. So if you know someone that needs that, please get us the names. Then when we get the names accumulated after today, we'll have a list back there with a whole bunch of stuff. You can sign up to bring part of, all of, you know, items. We'll explain that as we get a little closer. Don't want to overburden anybody, but together we can do a whole lot, okay?
Amen.
Keep that in mind. All right, Wednesday night is Halloween. We're going to do a trunk or treat for the youth. Now, I don't think this means for the whole world, so don't put it on the sign. But for our kids or maybe whoever comes by, I don't know, unless y'all want to just bring Walmart's full of candy, but bring some candy for our kids. And a little extra, because there might somebody stop by, and we don't want to turn anybody away, but keep that in mind. It'll be right after our regular services, right out there in the parking lot. So, Donnie, you the one that brought that up. Does that suit your?
Sounds great.
Yeah, thank you for bringing it up. We've done it before.
It's probably four down.
Is it?
And storm.
Yep. Then we'll have it inside.
Yeah. If that be the case, we got a nice dry gym out there with heat and air conditioning, so we'll just go out there. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. All right, Sunday, November the 3rd at 2 o'clock will be our fall festival at Brother Ed and Sister LaVita Kaiser's place over at. It's a very nice place. We appreciate y'all hosting us again this year.
Amen.
The directions are here in the bulletin. Last time, I think we had a balloon or something out there at the road or something, but we'll make sure you find it. If you can't find it, call David Stone. He can come get you and lead you in. You wouldn't do that for us, David? November the 3rd, we're going to change the daylight saving time. So fall back. You're going to set your clock back an hour. If you forget to do that, you'll just be here early. So there you go. Next Sunday, November the 4th, will be our building fund offering, and then next Sunday evening, November the 4th, will be our business meeting. Nursery attendance this morning is Georgia and Mandy. And Mandy, if you need some help, I'll bet she can whip them right into shape. David, you going back there? I'm just kidding. I love you, David. Gene started this. It wasn't me.
No, Cindy started it.
Oh. Next Sunday will be Cindy and Jerry Harrison. Any announcements I missed? Anybody? All right.
Page number 259. Sunday evening, and everybody seemed to like it, and they did a really good job. We do have a lot of choir members missing this morning due to sickness and vacation and stuff of that nature. But we're going to sing a beautiful song for you this morning. It's entitled, Jesus Wept.
Sometimes when tears would dim our sight,
David Stone, you need to come to the front, please.
Ooh, that sounded like the Walt or the Kmart Blue Light Special. show off those designer shoes he's got. those are go ahead shoes. They don't back up. Where'd my piano player go?
Well, I didn't know you was gonna do it.
Oh my, did you hear that battery still down? Go back. Give me a key.
Hey, David, Eddie Joe, he's not listening. I want you two guys to know them girls are way too pretty for y'all. Good to be here this morning.
Amen.
All right, we embarked on a series a couple weeks ago. Well, actually, 3 weeks ago, but I was missing in action 1 week. So this morning, we're on the third of the series. Last week we talked about God, big G God, the forever God, the eternal God, the creator God, remember? The God, big G God, that's who we're here to worship and honor this morning. This week we're going to talk about God some more, but we're going to talk about God and the fact that he is a triune God, one of our basic Bible beliefs. Is that God is all God, but he's manifest in three ways, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, sometimes referred to as the Holy Ghost, the same person, God. Now, we can make this as hard or as easy as we want. I don't know about y'all, but I'm always for easy if I can, right? And as long as we can explain it correctly and understand it correctly, the easier the better, because I'm a simple fellow. We're not here to try to impress anybody or make any big to-do. We're here to learn about God and how we can serve and honor him better. Is that right? So I like to keep it simple. Now, I'll start in the front of the book. We're going to read our two main scriptures. Are going to be out of Genesis 1 and John 16. There's many, many scriptures we could have chosen from. But I start at the beginning. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1 and beginning in verse 26. Okay, so remember as you're turning there that this is during the creation process right toward the end when God had made all the heavens and the earth and the waters and the firmaments and all the animals and everything right there, right at the end of that process. But before man was made, right? Before, here's what God said. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the earth, of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, created he him, male and female, created he them. Now, the creation part we're going to talk about in another one, but here's what I want you to think about for a second. Y'all know I say this very often. We study God's word one word at a time because God doesn't waste words. They're all important, okay? Now this, as I said, was just right before he created man. So let's look at the first three words of this scripture we just read. And it says, and God said. So my question to you is, who was he talking to? Well, up the triune God of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They had a conference, okay? A conference call, if you would. It's kind of hard for us to understand that, but look at what he said. In verse 26, it said there, right after those three words, it says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, think about this for just a minute, and let's try to break it down about how we function, okay? Think about yourself. You're all one person, are you not? Last time I checked, I was still all rightly fitted together. But I have an intellect or brain, okay? Thought, reasoning, choices, able to work through problems, okay? I'm capable of doing that. I also have my physical features. I have my arms for doing things, you know, holding up my hands, right? I have those. I have my legs for walking. I have my mouth for communication and, one of my favorite things, eating, right? Physical and spiritual, okay? We are eternal beings. We're never going away. And the reason that we are is because that God breathed the breath of life into us when he created us out of the dust of the earth. So whether you want to accept it or not, you are an eternal spiritual being, okay? Intellect, body, spiritual, okay? God, the Father, intellectual God, the Son, physical God, and the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, spiritual God. That's the image of God. That's what we are. We are a threefold being in the image of God, in his likeness. The rest of that verse reads, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, think about this for a second. Who has dominion over everything here on this earth? Huh? Well, yeah, that too, but we do. He put us here to till the earth and to keep it, okay? God does. But who's the top of the food chain here on the earth? Man, okay? God did that for us. So in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So God created us in his image. Don't mean I look just like God, but the image, the thrust in three different ways. 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, that's Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay, sometimes it's a little bit hard for us to understand that unless we look at ourselves in the image of God. We function differently, but we're all one being. Is your physical body any less important than your intellectual part of your body? I mean, you could have a functional body, but if your brain can't make it function, what good is it? We're eternal beings like God because he breathed the breath of life into us. That one difference between man and animals is that breath of life. So God is three in one. God manifested in three different ways. Still all God, none lesser than the other, okay? Because all three are God. Now remember that God has always known that he would have to send a part of himself here to this earth to pay the price for our sin. Now, I want you to get this in your mind. Before anything was created, before the first Adam was ever created, God made the decision. And 1 Peter 1:19 says, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Now, God wants us to know that he never left anything to chance, okay? So before the very foundation of the world, the Godhead had a meeting, and they said, we're going to have to send someone down to pay the price for man's sin. After we create him, Jesus said, I'll do it. Amen? Isn't it amazing? God just is amazing, okay? He knew that we would fall. He knew that we're all sinful, would be all sinful beings. He knew that Satan was going to tempt Eve and Adam in the garden, and that Adam would sin, and he made a process by which we might be born again or reunified with God, okay? Jesus must come from the Father, because when we read the Bible, we see that the sin nature passes through man. So God being the heavenly Father of Jesus, Jesus was not born with this sin nature that we inherit. But he was born of a virgin, okay? All man, all God, Jesus. He lived a life without sin and gave that sinless body on the cross that we should be reconciled to God. That's what we are, that are born again believers. Jesus, the Son of God, paid the price we could not pay so that we could spend eternity with God. That's what God did for us through his flesh, his Son, Jesus. Okay, so now we've talked about the Father and the Son. What about the Holy Spirit? I'm afraid sometimes that the Holy Spirit is not given the reverence that he needs. I've heard the Holy Spirit talked about in the terms of it. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is God in the spirit form. He deserves the same reverence as God the Father and the Son. He is just as much God as either of the other two. Okay? Now, if you're a born-again believer, and I hope everybody in this room is, but if you are, the Holy Spirit resides in you. Amen? You have a part of God in you. He comes into your soul and makes you whole when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And oh, by the way, I know you know this, but it never hurts to remind you that no one comes to God except the Holy Spirit draws them. Except you be drawn, convicted unto salvation or your need for it, you can never be saved. Did you know that? Did you know that the Spirit, that's the one that draws you to the salvation? Ephesians 2 and 5 says, when we were yet dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And if you go on and read the rest of that chapter or on down some verses, you'll see how we're saved. We're saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ after the Spirit has drawn us to the realization of that need. That still small voice that leads us in the paths of righteousness. Listen for just a second, please. This is important. If you can sin and not feel the leading of the Holy Spirit that you've sinned, if you can just sin and not feel the wrongness of it in your soul, you might need to examine your salvation experience. Because when the Holy Spirit moves in, he'll convict you when you sin. My prayer is and continues to be that I will be convicted even of sins that I don't know about when I do them. Because it's important that we stay as close to God as we possibly can. Sin drives a wedge. Listen to me, friend. If you can just not ought to check your salvation experience, because the Holy Spirit lives in those who've truly accepted him. And because he lives in there, he'll convict you when you've done wrong. Not pointing fingers at you, warning you to be closer to God. When I think of the Spirit of God, I think of the time of Jesus' baptism. Isn't that amazing how God always confirms everything that he tells us? That's another sermon in this series, baptism, but we're not going to get on that too much. But I want to talk about when Jesus was baptized. So he did it the right way. So Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Spirit of God descended out of heaven and lit on Jesus. All three of them were together again at the baptism of Christ. Think about that. The heavens opened and the Spirit descended and lit on Jesus. And God Almighty, the Father from heaven, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." All three parts of the Godhead represented at the baptism of Jesus. Now we know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins after that, and we know that after he had been here on this earth in his glorified body for 40 some odd days, he was seen of many after he was resurrected from the dead. In one instance, he was seen of upward of 500 people at one time that bore witness that this man, this Christ that was killed on the cross and buried, was risen. He's alive. He spent time here on this earth walking among the people so that they would know that he was a risen Savior. Thank you for that account, Jesus. But it became time for him to go back to be with the Father. And he was going back to prepare a place for you and I. That was always the plan. He's in heaven right now on the right hand of God, awaiting the command of the Father to come back and get us. May it be soon. But think about this for a second. When Jesus could be at one place at a time because of the physical restraints, I've thought back many times it would have been wonderful to have been alive whenever Jesus walked this earth. But guess what, friends? If I would have been in America at that time, I'd have never got to see him because he was bound by the flesh. And the beauty of God's plan is that Jesus come down and do what he did, live this sinless life, give himself on the cross for us, but then come back to heaven. But God wasn't going to leave us alone. He wasn't going to leave us here by ourselves. Jesus is back in heaven. But we have the Holy Spirit here that can be everywhere at the same time. You know, we're here in church at Oak Hill, and I'm so thankful that the Spirit of God dwells here. But guess what? There's other churches around the world that are having services much like we are today, and the Spirit of God dwells there as well. He didn't leave us here alone. He left us with a part of himself, the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 4. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll see that this is in red letters because this is Jesus talking to us. This is a little bit longer read, so bear with me, please. John chapter 16, verse 4. Jesus said, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you them, and these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." Okay? Jesus is telling them what's going to happen after he's not with us. "But now I go my way to him that sent me." Who's that? Oh, that's God the Father, right? "Now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou?" Okay? Jesus said, I'm leaving, and y'all ain't even asking where I'm going. "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." Now, think about this for a second. Jesus is telling them, "I got to leave. I got to go back to the one that sent me. I'm going back to be in the presence of God." And these people that were close to him, that knew him personally, were sad because he wasn't going to be here anymore. God had a plan. Look at verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you." Jesus saying it's good for you. It it's really urgent for you. That the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Listen, Jesus said, I know you're going to miss me. Oh, and by the way, I believe Jesus was going to miss them as well. But he said, it's expedient for you. I'm going away for your benefit, because if I don't leave, I can't send the Comforter, who, by the way, is the Holy Spirit. But if I go back to where my Father is, I can send the Comforter to you. Verse 8, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I love that scripture. Jesus said the prince of this world, which is Satan, he's already been judged. The sentence will be carried out on Satan. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now think of just a second for everything that Jesus has done for you. Think about that. Jesus died on the cross for you. Let me back up. Jesus left the presence of his Father, God Almighty, and took on the form of a mortal man, the body. What a demotion that was. He came down here and he was born of the Virgin Mary for you. He didn't do it for himself. Listen, God don't need us. We need God. Jesus did that for us. And then he lived like we do. He was the son, if you will, of the carpenter down here. And he grew up in a household like any other household around at that time. The prince, the heir, the son of God, demoted himself for you and me. He did. He lived without sinning, and he fulfilled the law so that when his blood was shed, it covered the sins of all. Jesus did that for you. He hung on the cross between heaven and earth. He who knew no sin became sin. And God, his Father, turned his back on him as he hung there on that cross. The only time they've ever been truly separated. He did that for you. They took him down off that cross and they put him in that barred tomb. And he was raised from the dead. He was given his glorified, sinless body, eternal body. He had a sinless body before, but not an eternal one. He went through all that for you. And guess what? He could have just went back to heaven then, but he didn't. He stayed here on this earth, and he showed himself in his glorified form to men so that we would know without a doubt that we serve a risen Savior. He did that for us. Guess what else he did? He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us, to show us the righteous path. He did that for us. He did that for you. Thank you, Jesus, for going back to the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit. I've said so many times, and you probably get tired of hearing it, but all you really need to know the truth is a good Bible, a willing heart, and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for that. You see, it's available to all of us if we'll just apply ourselves, because the Spirit will lead you to the truth if you'll but seek Him. Isn't God great? He's so far above us. He didn't leave anything to chance. He's given us everything that we need. And you may think you need a new car, but let me tell you, you can get by without a new car, one way or the other. You might even want one. God might bless you with one. Nothing wrong with having one. But it's not a need. What you need is Jesus.
Amen.
And God furnished that for us. And oh, by the way, the only way you know you need Jesus is by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And God furnished that to us as well. Isn't God great? He created us in the first place. He sent His Son for us. And He gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us in the paths of righteousness and truth. All we have to do is be leadable. Are we leadable? Or are we bullheaded and set in our ways? Well, maybe a little of both. I don't know about you, but Cindy would probably agree with about that to me. But we serve a mighty God. And we are supposed to be submissive to His will. Do you know that order is so very important in our culture today? And here's why. How there's a lot of reasons, but here's the main reason to me. Because if we people, we humans, are not submissive, then when the Holy Spirit draws us to salvation, we are going to have a harder time following that lead, that drawing, if we're not submissive. Think about this for a second. If we don't raise our children and teach them to be submissive to the will and those in authority over them, when the Holy Spirit draws them, will they listen? Will they? A submissive person that understands that leadership is a lot more likely to follow the leadership of the Spirit. Do you ever think that letting your children run wild without direction might cause them to reject the Holy Spirit? It's a sobering thought. They're young and impressionable. It's up to us to teach them. Something to think about, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know how to explain the triune Godhead any simpler than what we've just talked about. God is God. He's made up in three different ways. And each way has its own function. But all of them are still just as much God as the other parts. It takes all of them to make God who He is. Just like it takes all of our functions to make us who we are. It takes all of them to make God who He is. It takes all of them to make Jesus who He is. And it takes all of them to make the Holy Spirit who He is. They are God, simply, truthfully, and faithfully. And they are love, because God is love. That's why He did what He did for us. God don't need us, but we really need Him every day of our life. God, the triune God, all facets of God, has done for us what He done because He loves us. He furnished the way that we could get back to Him because He loves us. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to talk about this in another sermon coming up. But I submit to you this morning that there is no other way ever except through the shed blood of Jesus. You see, if God hadn't done what He done and sent Jesus, we could never be in the presence of God ever again. But He did. The price has been paid. He's waiting for you. If you don't know Jesus, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will knock on your door of your heart And he didn't want to come in. But he won't force his way in. You've got to open that door. And you've got to accept what God did for you. The Spirit will lead you into making that move, but the choice is yours. Choose wisely. Because the Spirit won't always be here. I submit to you, I want to say this one other thing, and we'll start closing quickly. But I want you to think about this. I think that the next big thing on God's calendar is the rapture of the church, with calling away. Jesus is coming back in the air, and he's calling those of us who have accepted him as Lord and Savior up to be with him. We're getting a glorified body, and we'll always be in his presence. But think about this for a second. If the Holy Spirit is indwelled in us, when we're raptured out, where's he going? Oh, he's going back to heaven with us. I'm not saying there can't be people saved after that, but I will tell you something. The Holy Spirit's going to work differently than he does now here on this earth. Don't put it off. It'll never be this easy to be saved again. Think about this as well. If you reject Jesus, if you reject the leadership of the Holy Spirit calling you unto salvation, he might not call you again. He didn't promise you he'd call on you forever. Don't waste it. God made it easy for us. But we have to do it his way. If the Holy Spirit's leading you into salvation this morning, please, I beg of you, accept the calling. Step out that aisle. I can tell you that many, many years ago, whenever I was convicted and I was scared to death, if I died, I was going to hell. I knew it just like I was breathing. When I finally decided to step out, I remember that first step, and after that, I was carried down that aisle, because I want to tell you something. God will meet you way more than halfway. All you have to do is take the first step. I don't believe that it's a coincidence you to something else, a higher service, whatever it may be. Don't put it off. Listen to the Spirit. He won't lead you astray. You know why? Because he's God. And God would never do anything except what's best for us, because he loves us. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Bow with me, please. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, we're thankful, Lord, that you give us in your word the information that we need so that we can make good decisions in our life. Lord, I know that even with the information, we always don't always make good decisions, but pray, Lord, I pray that if there's any here amongst us today that don't know you, Jesus, as their personal Savior, that they would make the right choice as the Spirit leads them, and they would step out and accept him before it's eternally too late. Lord, help us here and guide us with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, here at Oak Hill, that we'd be found doing your will in everything that we do. Help us, Lord, to grow in spiritualism, in knowledge, and in our ability to do your will here on this earth. I ask, Lord, that your blessings be upon us and any that might be here. And it's in your Son's precious name I pray. Amen.
Page 190.
Do you hear him calling? Maybe it's not for salvation. Maybe you have unrepentant sin in your life you need to get rid of. Right here at this altar is the best place to get it rid of it. Give it to Jesus. Maybe there's a need in your life that's not related to sin. Maybe you just need to come down and praise Jesus right here. You know, the Spirit draws us in many different directions, and it's for our own good and for His honor and glory. And so maybe there's a need in your life that none of us know here, but God knows. And maybe He's leading, drawing that you would just give that up to Him. You know, Jesus said in the Bible, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Maybe you have a burden you need to get rid of. He's already conquered sin.
Amen.
He's already conquered death, hell, and the grave. It's easy to Him, the things that we can't bear. And He tells us all we have to do is give it to Him. Now I submit to you, if you come down here and you give it to Him, don't pick it back up and take it back with you. Give it to Him. Leave it there. He'll take care of it. What's the need? The Spirit draws in so many ways. What's your need this morning as we sing another verse?
Jesus is calling.
Gene.